This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Book the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, the Caps had an eventful week. Lots of games, lots of drama. People have been waived. People have been benched. There's a lot of stuff going on in Caps world. So let's jump right into it. Joining me as always, Coach Dan. What's going on, man? What do you make of this past week in the Caps world? Besides their play, is that why we're seeing a lot of stuff happen right now? I mean, let's just we'll just bullet point this real quick. We have Jacob Varana, who has been benched. Richard Ponick has been put on waivers. We have Henrik Lundqvist, who is, you know, talking about a comeback. We have Vitek Vanacek and Ilya Samsonov. Nobody's played a back-to-back game, really, in, you know, for a couple months now. Is that trade deadline coming up this Monday? Is that why we're seeing a lot of these moves that are happening right now?
I mean, I think the trade deadline certainly plays a part in all or some of these, but I don't think necessarily all. Like, I think Vrana's benching was sort of Laviolette's way of sending a message to him. You know, he's been trying for a lot of the season to get through to Kuznetsov and through to Vrana, and I think he finally has gotten through to Kuznetsov because we've seen improved play from him over the past couple of games. Vrana, not so much. And so I think the two game benching was a, like, look, if you're not going to do what needs to get done, you can go sit somewhere else and I'll find someone or have one of these other guys play in your role. And as for Lundqvist, I think maybe part of his story might have to do with that. Part of it is because he's been taking shots. He's getting further and further away from what it was his surgery date. And so he thinks he can make a comeback this season. I don't think he necessarily, even if the Caps think he could be their, you know, backup to the backup, I don't think they're necessarily looking at him as coming in and being their starter, barring anything crazy happening. And Ponick, I think they have two other guys in Daniel Sprong and Connor Sheary that can do the same things that Ponick is doing for cheaper. But putting Ponick on waivers, I don't think no one's going to claim him. Like, I just don't anticipate that happening, considering.
So he's going to be a taxi guy.
Yeah, I think so. I don't see anyone going and picking up a guy who doesn't produce offensively, unless they think that they can get him to produce offensively. But is anyone really willing to go on and take on another 2 years plus this season, whatever's left of this season, two more years at 2.75, the cap it? You know, that's a hard sell for a 30-year-old. You know, if you're a rebuilding team, if you're one of the younger teams and you think, hey, maybe this can be one of our veteran guys to help with our young players, then maybe you take a flyer on it, because that's not that bad, because you're probably going to have a ton of cap space anyways, and by the time you're going to be good enough, he's going to be out of a contract.
So I was never a fan of Ponick's. I haven't really been hiding that fact. I didn't like when they brought him in. They signed him to a long contract to a lot of money. I thought, where did, you know, what did Brian McClellan see in this guy? I don't know. So
I think he lost Connolly and needed somebody.
I guess, yeah. But like you said, Sprong and Connor Sheary have kind of shown that these guys belong on this team and deserve a sweater every single night. Richard Ponick, let's just face it, he hasn't. He's never produced for this team, especially this
Not
year.
Well
this
enough.
Has been a really bad year, especially for him. So seeing him being put on waivers, I'm not surprised, but I'm wondering if with that trade deadline looming and they get like what, 1.8 million back, maybe they got at least like a little bit of money they can play with. Maybe they could activate Lundqvist if he wanted to go with that money, or if they did see someone else that they wanted to sign, potentially they could use that money there. But I mean, I'm not sad to see Ponick on waivers, but I don't really think he's brought anything to this team. But hopefully they can use some of that money and put it towards something that might help.
I mean, that's ideal that you can go and bring in someone. I mean, right now I wouldn't be surprised at all. And I think I think Tariq El-Bashir of The Athletic has talked about this, that they're probably looking to get depth in the center spot, and they're looking to get depth at goalie. And maybe the goalie is going to be an internal thing with Lundqvist. He's not on a high cap hit. At this point in the season, it's not even going to be that much money if you bring him off long-term injured reserve. So you've got him there. Maybe they're looking at the depth on defense, but considering what they have available, I'm not really sure that's an avenue they want to go down, especially with little cap money. But I think depth at the center spot, they definitely need to look into that. And whether it's a guy who's going to be sitting up in the press box most games, or if it's a guy who's going to be pushing for a starting spot, maybe on the wing, and then he can slide over to the center because he's more naturally a center. It depends on the player, obviously, because they need to be able to outplay the guys that are already getting a sweater most nights. But they definitely need depth at the center spot. I mean, you don't want to go into the playoffs with TJ Oshie playing in the center spot because Dowd or Eller or Backstrom or Kuznetsov aren't playing. Like, that's a problem. So you need to go out and you need to find some depth in the middle of the ice.
Yeah, I can agree with that. And depth at goaltender, I mean, it's... if they bring in Lundqvist, I can kind of understand, but how do you take a job away from Vitek or Samsonov? These two young kids, they've done really well against, in the pipes. Vitek, I mean, he has really fought for his spot. He's the rookie with the most wins right now for a goaltender in the NHL. He's played fantastic. I mean, yeah, that loss to the Islanders on Tuesday night was rough, but Vitek looked great in it. I mean, if it wasn't for him, that game really could have been, a landslide for the Islanders. I don't know how you tell that kid after this entire season that he has to sit on the bench or go to Hershey, because he's shown that he can do really well. And he's shown that he is an NHL goaltender.
He's definitely not going to Hershey. None of the guys. The only guy I'd be going to Hershey would be Craig Anderson.
Right.
No offense, Craig. But it's like, if Lundqvist comes back, he's their taxi squad goalie, I have to imagine. And then it's really going to be between Samsonov and Vanacek as to who's the number one guy in the play. Again, assuming they make the playoffs, which they're, they are as of right now.
I mean, potentially, but one of them, I guess, could be trade bait. But I don't know if you're going to know
about
Lundqvist.
That's the interesting thing going into the offseason, because... no, I don't think one of them is going to be trade bait, because... maybe in the offseason.
No, I'm saying, like, I don't think we're going to know anything about Lundqvist by Monday. So it's not like you can say, all right, we're going with one of these guys and we want to drop one of these goaltenders to somebody else by the trade deadline.
I don't think you do it even if you know about Lundqvist. I think you still wait, because neither one of them have a lot of cap. Neither of them have a big cap hit. So that doesn't really affect you. I mean, you're looking at Samsonov is $925,000. Vanacek is at 716 and change. So it's not like you're not going to take up, get a bunch of money back. And with this team, even with Ponik off the books, you're likely still going to have to send out someone to get someone. I mean, you have to do it anyways, because the other team's probably going to want another player.
Right.
But you're still going to have to make a move that's going to free up some cap space. If you want to bring in like a bigger name, like production guy, which I don't know if they're going to. Like, say you bring in a guy who can play in the top six, who's getting moved out? I guess Vrana at the moment, but I don't know. The way I look at it, I'm looking for a depth center, because I want someone who can play on the third or fourth line center. I'm not looking to replace Backstrom or Kuznetsov. And I think at the goalie spot, if Lundqvist is really your third goalie, if I'm Craig Anderson, I'm like, hey, you guys have not even let me play.
Just once.
Like, one or two games?
Yeah.
So, no, I don't think you move Vanacek or Samsonov until the offseason. And then I think you deal one of them, because if you don't, Seattle's probably going to take whoever you don't protect. Unless you make a trade, in which case you're going to have to give up something else important just so they don't. Which defeats the purpose of then trading that player later on for whatever.
Imagine at the end of this year, if Lundqvist does decide and his doctors say it's okay to come back. Imagine.
Okay, hold on. I got to put on my imagination hat. Sorry, that was stupid.
The Capitals could have three Hall of Famers, legit Hall of Famers, three of the best players of our time playing the sport on one team in Ovechkin, Chara, and Lundqvist. Could you imagine, let's just say 5 years ago. Let's just say 5 years ago,
wait,
could you...
Wait.
Okay.
Can everybody out there listening, hold on. I want you guys to just, can you feel the disrespect from Brandon right now for Nicholas Backstrom? Can you feel the disrespect towards Nicky B?
Could you imagine
four Hall of Famers, two of them which are really Hall of Famers because of their prior careers and teams, but whatever.
Yes, okay.
Let's think about this for a second. Let's go with more recent times because, like, the Oilers, Rangers at one point, I'm sure, the Penguins, like, they've all had multiple Hall of Fame guys. But you don't really have that with the Capitals. And that's just been our history. It's a reality. You know, it is what it is. Most teams. I'm trying to think, like, they've had some good players in the past. But, yeah, that is kind of crazy that you'd have four guys. Carlson? Probably not.
I mean, he's good, but, like, these...
Yeah. Caps Hall of Fame.
All right, so, but think about it. Ovechkin, Chara, Lundqvist. Let's not put Backstrom in that just for argument's sake. But those three have been the leaders of their teams. They have been... They've been players that, you know, we talked about every time either the Bruins or the Rangers came to D.C. or we met in the postseason. They were players you had to worry about.
I mean, they're first ballot Hall of Famers.
These guys defined our generation, you think about it, these three guys, and now they're all playing on the same team.
Well, two at the moment.
Potentially.
Two very big goofballs at the moment.
Yes, who hide indoors.
Oh, I miss Mike Green. He would have been fun with this group. Yeah. Maybe not when the other team had the puck in our end. That, not so much. But, man, that guy was good back in his day offensively. No, I mean, that's the best way to put this. The opportunity that we have had as Capitals fans to, given we're essentially like the same age as Ovechkin. I think he's a year older than you. He's a little younger than me. We've grown up as adults watching him play.
Yep.
I mean, he got drafted. He was what, 2004?
On Caps this morning, I think it was on Saturday, was the 17-year anniversary of drafting
Ovechkin.
Don't
make me do math.
It was getting the call of getting the first pick.
I don't have enough fingers to figure this out. I think he was... that was dumb. I think... I'm an idiot. I think he was 04, right? So... Okay. I think so. Anyways, it was right about that time. But the point is, like, we were young adults at that point. We grew up as human beings, as adults, watching this dude play.
Some and more than others.
To have... I mean, look at it. Like, we grew up as kids with Ripken in Baltimore, right? You as a Ravens fan had Ray Lewis, as well as a number of other players. But they've always been very good. But Ovechkin was, like, at one point, the guy. Him and Crosby were the guys in the NHL. You
Again,
know, Char was
I,
good,
we,
but
I
not
said
as
it last,
marketable.
No, right. I said it last week or the week before. Ovi and Crosby, you know, they reignited interest in the NHL.
Well, you know, freaking lockouts didn't help.
Well, of course, but I mean, up until that point, no one in Baltimore cared about the Capitals. I mean, let's be honest. Yeah, the Caps was a fun thing to go to
it
on
was
a
you
weekend.
And Phil.
But Ovi came into town, and everyone in Baltimore went, wait, we don't have hockey. We can like this guy.
Watch
we can
out,
like
there's
this
a
team.
Russian.
I mean, they brought the Caps to Baltimore for a preseason game twice. The tickets were fairly overpriced. Yeah, one, because they were too expensive. But they brought the team back
in the
here.
Corner.
Yeah, and it was not – it was a pond. It wasn't even ice, really. They were swimming at the end. Michael Phelps scored a goal. But, you know, they defined – they brought people back to the NHL. They defined a generation, and now you have Lundqvist, who carried the Rangers on his shoulders. You have Chara, who carried the Bruins to a Stanley Cup. All of these players on the same team. Are they in their prime? No. But, I mean – just the leadership that they bring and the skills that they bring to this team, there's all the talent is on the ice. You know, if this team doesn't make it far into the playoffs and the way that they've been playing in the third period recently kind of makes you worry about that first round exit that we've seen so many times. But there's enough talent on this team that this team, you know, should go far just from the sheer volume of veteran leadership and talent that there is out there.
Yeah, but to scale it back just a bit or tone it down just a bit, this is Chara at the end of his career.
Yeah.
You know, he may say he wants to play a few more years, but at most I'm thinking he's got one or two. You got Lundqvist, who just had open heart surgery.
Yeah.
Like, he's not, even if he comes back and he's like, I'm ready to play, he's still going to be the third goalie on this roster.
Well, yeah, because the odds of seeing him in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, that too. But, like, the odds of seeing him, he was brought in not necessarily as the number one.
Right.
He was before gonna teach he Sammy. Decided to have to have this massive surgical procedure. And so the fact that he's coming back, he's going to be – if he's in the net in the playoffs, they've got some big injuries that have happened.
Yeah.
Because that means you're out Samsonov. That means you're out – I was going to say Lundqvist, Vanacek. And the odds of that happening, knock on wood, are slim. But the fact – I mean, the story alone, if he can come back and play, is fantastic.
We need to write a script. We need a movie. We need to get a director.
Primarily for his health. Right. Like, that's the most important thing. You know, he could come back. Like, I can very easily see one of Samsonov or Vanacek not being on the roster next season. So there's still, if he wants to play and can play, Lundqvist could still be the 1A or 1B for this team next season. I'm assuming 1B or second goalie, the backup. Just maybe this year wasn't the year that was going to happen. But I don't see him happening this year. Chara as a third pairing defenseman, it's been good. He's made Nick Jensen look good. Jensen's been able to play better. Thank you, Zdeno, for doing that. But this is not Zdeno Chara of the early 2010s. This is not Lundqvist of the early or mid 2010s. Like, these guys are at the end of their careers.
Sure.
Ovechkin's getting there towards the end of his career. And that's the other thing is, like, this team can't just rely on the Hall of Famers or the soon-to-be Hall of Famers. You need to see other guys stepping up, and that's one reason why Ponick's on waivers, because he wasn't playing as well as the other guys, and the amount of money that's being put into him that they could free up to make that depth center signing or trade, I should say, at the deadline. They made that possible by getting his cap hit off the books if they put him on the taxi squad. I think that's how that works. I could be wrong. Like I said last week, we're not experts. So, but if you look at the numbers alone, make that Ponick move make sense. Sheary's got 14 points in 36 games. Sprong's got 12 points in 28 games. Ponick's got 9 in 36. Now, they played on different lines at some points. So, fair is fair. But 9 points in 36 games, that's not good enough. Not for the money you're making. Not for, you know, $2.75 million a year. That's nowhere near good enough, and that's way too much money to put into a fourth liner when you don't have any cap space to begin with. You know, if you're putting them on the fourth line and you got $15 million or $10 million or even $7 million in cap space and you're a rebuilding team, you're likely not paying your young guys that you're up and coming, your future core, very much because they're still on rookie deals. So you have that flexibility. The Caps don't. And if you're a team that wants to continue to push towards winning a cup, you put your money in your core group and you surround them with guys that maybe are a little expensive, but probably aren't that much because you're constantly rotating those guys in and out year after year, every 2 years or 3 years, whatever the case. I mean, look at the Blackhawks. They were doing that very successfully for a while. They had their core of Taves and Kane and Crawford and Duncan Keith and Seabrook. And then the other guys would get rotated in and out, and they would, you know, they'd get rid of kind of their core, their guys just on the outside of the core that were more expensive. They'd bring in other guys and they'd struggle for a year, and then they go in, they win another cup, and then they'd do it again when those guys became, you know, up for new contracts. And they were like, sorry, we can't afford it. See ya, or we'll trade you, a la Dustin Byfuglien, and we'll bring in someone else and they can do the same job, and eventually they'll get to where you were, and they just keep going around and around, and they won a couple cups that way. And that's what the Caps have tried to do since they won the cup in 2018. Hasn't worked out. It doesn't always work out in terms of that sort of maneuver, but I think that's what you have to do in the salary cap era. you build your core, and that's where a lot of your money's. I mean, even looking at cap friendly, they have this cool little thing on there where it tells you each player how much of the cap, like percentage wise, how much they take up. So the cap's core right now, I'd say arguably, is Ovechkin, Backstrom, Kuznetsov, Oshie, Wilson. I think Eller kind of.
That's a big core right there. That's like half your roster.
Well, there were probably more guys in the Blackhawks. I just couldn't think of who they are. Let's be fair. So Ovechkin, Backstrom, like Kuznetsov, Oshie, and Wilson, right? Then you're looking at probably Carlson. I think the rest of the defense is kind of Orlov, maybe, in terms of like your core. And then you had Holpe, but then it became time to move him out. Even your core guys you move out, you know? So, but Ovechkin's taking up 11.7%. Backstrom's taking up 11.9%. Kuznetsov, 9.6%. Oshie, 7.1%. Wilson, 6.3%. Carlson's 9.8%. Orlov, 6%. Like, your big chunk of your change of your available cap money is going to go into your core. So that's where the scouting and the general manager come in terms of being able to constantly rotate and bring new guys in and young guys in. That's why you need to draft well, because when someone gets too expensive, like a Lars Eller, you need to be prepared to move him out. And I like Eller, don't get me wrong, but you need to be prepared to move him out and have someone ready to replace him. And if it's not one of your young guys, you got to go out and find someone in free agency or the trade, which I do think to an extent McClellan's actually been pretty good at. They lost Beagle. They brought in Nick Dowd. It's not a like for like exactly, but I think Dowd has been good for this team. That's one that's worked out. And there have been some moves that haven't, like Richard Ponick. You know, Connolly became too expensive. They weren't prepared to put the money into it that he was going to get on the open market, so they let him go. They spent less money on Ponick. Didn't work out. The problem was the years. I think he put too many years into that deal, and that's what screwed them over. Like, this probably should have been the last year of his deal. Maybe next year, which might make him easier to make a move on. So, you know, I'm not expecting too many crazy things at the trade deadline. I think this team is going to be a little bit more interesting in terms of their moves going into the offseason, especially with the expansion draft coming up. And, you know, I think that's going to be the interesting thing to watch, because that's where you're going to lose Oshie or one of the goalies, or maybe a defenseman.
The goaltenders both have looked great.
I think they have to make a decision after the season, and they're going to trade one of them to like Buffalo. I don't know who needs a goalie right now off the top of my head. Other
Buffalo,
than
who actually got a win. Good for them.
Yeah. you're terrible. You know, I think I can't think of who else might need a goalie right now, but I have to imagine some team is going to come asking about Vanacek or Samsonov. And maybe you get, you know, a prospect in that deal. Maybe you get a draft pick. Or maybe you go out and you find a way to replace Oshie, assuming he's the guy you're going to lose in the draft that way.
Maybe get Martin Erat. You know, things work out that way sometimes.
No, thank you. The reality is one of these goalies, they can't start both every night. So why not? You have these valuable trade chips. Why not take advantage of that by bringing in someone talented, or hopefully talented? You know, they moved on from Grubauer. What did they get for him? I don't even remember what they got for him.
They moved, well, the whole reason they moved Grubauer out is so they can move out the Orpik contract, and then they re-signed Orpik to much less money. It was just so Colorado could get that. It was those two.
No,
guys,
but I'm trying to remember what they got in return.
I think it was just draft picks.
Was it? Hold on. I'm checking Wikipedia.
But that whole move was just to get money, the Orpik money, off the books and on
second round pick. Actually, that's not a bad deal.
The NHL was Vanacek, quite ticked off about that.
They're like, excuse me, cheating. It's like, not technically. Yeah. Now it would be, I think.
We got you.
Yeah. You know, I think one of these goalies is gone in the offseason, but that doesn't matter right now. Right now, it matters is that
use them.
You know, they're trading off, and I'm fine with that, because you're trying to figure out which guy is going to be your guy going into the playoffs. And I think both have made a very strong case, and they've given quite the headache for Laviolette.
I mean, these are good problems to have, but Samsonov, I don't think he's ever played a back to back. I mean, he got sick, you know, with COVID early in the season, and you know, I don't think he's had a back-to-back, and you want these guys to stay fresh just in case. I mean, it makes sense of why you want them to be playing, but every time one of them makes some strides and you're like, all right, he's our number one. Then a guy like Vitek shows up during that Islanders game on Tuesday night, and you're like, I think Vitek might be number one. So, I mean, it's good. I mean, Sammy, what a save he had against the Devils where what player was it just had to go in the back, destroy his stick in private, and then come back to the bench? I mean, that was hilarious to see. But you see that on Sunday on Easter, and Samsonov completely rob this Devils player and have him force him to break his stick in frustration. You're like, all right, I guess he's going to get the start on Tuesday against the Islanders. And then here comes Vitek. And Vitek has a great game. You're like, all right, now back to square one.
Good.
1A, 1B. Yeah, it's pretty much what it is. I mean, John Walton was even saying it might be interesting because in a month or so, you know, Sammy might be the number one, and his first back-to-back might be game one, game two of the quarterfinals.
Yeah. I mean, it's very likely. And that happens sometimes where you have a goalie that gets hurt that's their number one. I mean, look at the – I don't remember the timeline exactly, so this may not be the best example, but Matt Murray going into the – I think his first cup win, 2016 maybe, where Fleury wasn't doing it or was injured, and Murray came in, and they might actually been in the playoffs. And, you know, he played really well. And I think the reality is if they go into kind of like with the year the Caps won the Cup, Grubauer was their starter going to the playoffs, and he wasn't getting it done, and they went back to Holpe, and it worked out. That could happen, where maybe Vanacek starts and it's not working, and they go to Samsonov or vice versa. But I think it's a very good problem to have, but a problem nonetheless.
Now, we did bring up Verana and his benching from Laviolette. He said he wants to focus on the ice. What did you think of his return? He sat for a couple games. He came back against the Islanders. I'm a huge Verana fan. However, I was not overly impressed with his return.
Well, I don't know if that's a fair game to necessarily make a judgment at this point. You know, a 1-0 loss. Very well-played game by both teams.
Sure. I hope you guys are ready because that's probably who you're going to be facing maybe round one in the playoffs.
No, right now they're taking on Boston.
Things could change.
Yeah, but obviously. I think it's either I don't think they're playing the Islanders in the first round. So right now in the standing is the Cap in the Mass Mutual East. It's the Caps, the Islanders, the Penguins, and the Bruins. At 54, Caps and Islanders tied at 54. Then you have the Penguins at 50 and Boston at 46. That's the Rangers at 41, as are the Flyers. So they have a chance if you know, the Penguins or the Flyers drop, Penguins or the Bruins start to drop, which I don't anticipate happening necessarily. So, you know, I think the reality is to get out of the East, you're going to have to face the Islanders at some point if you're the Caps.
Right.
But you're going to have to get out of that first round against Boston. Ooh, talk about a storyline there. But, you know, you're going to have to get out of Boston or New York or Philly first. If you even end up the, you know, top in the East, you could end up second if the Islanders pass you and playing the Penguins or even third. I don't know if they're going to fall far enough to fall into fourth necessarily. So I think that, you know, I think facing the Islanders is unlikely, at least in the first round, just because they're right there with them.
Now, I think the Islanders, the Penguins and the Capitals, they're fighting for positioning at this point. Knock on wood.
Okay, so theoretically you could be right. I guess you could face the Islanders if the Caps and Islanders end up in second and third. Then yes, I guess that's technically possible.
Right, and I think the fourth spot is really the only one that teams are still battling for. Who that fourth spot will be is up for grabs. However, the top three seeds, it looks like, are taken, but depending on who does what is how the seeding will work for those top three spots. But there is potential of a Caps Islanders round one matchup, which will be very difficult for this team, as we've seen, because that Tuesday game was very difficult for the Capitals, and they have not been playing very well in April. This has been a rough week. They got completely blown out by the Rangers. They barely beat the Devils in OT, and they had a good game on Sunday, on Easter, against the Devils as well. But this has been a bit of a struggle. Caps really impressed in March. They looked like they were hitting their strides, but it looks like there might now be a little bit of a speed bump right before the playoffs.
We've talked about this plenty of times where, you know, you're never as good as you look on your highs. You're never as bad as you look on your lows, and they're just kind of in a little bit of a rut. I mean, they beat the Devils twice, but the Devils are, you know, seventh in the division for a reason. They're an up-and-coming team. They're just not there yet. but they've been struggling against the better teams, the Islanders, the Rangers. So it's, you know, they're in a little bit of a rut, and you hope that they're going to come out of it, but it's going to take a lot more than just the top guys to get them out of it. You know, you're going to see contributions from everybody, because that's what you're getting from the other teams.
All right, so what else should we talk about in Caps world here?
Let's see. I think we covered pretty much everything on my notes. Oh, the last thing was it's looking like there's going to be no fans that will be allowed to attend games in Capital One, at least through the rest of the regular season. There was the possibility that the D.C. city government might give them the opportunity to host fans, but it's looking like that is not going to happen.
Unfortunate, but I think the Capitals are the only team in the East without fans right now. So that's,
I believe that's correct.
Yeah, so I mean, it's difficult for them to not have a home team, but given our current world that we live in, understandable.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it makes sense. But I think we've covered pretty much everything in Caps world.
All right. Well, cool. Well, Caps, keep. Let's get some those W's. Make sure you
play some better
points.
Third periods.
Yes, please finish games. Whatever reason, I know you're tired. Finish games, please. All right, that's it for what's going on in Caps world. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We're talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's start with some prospect news as defenseman Alex Alexiev. He was sent to Hershey after his season in the KHL ended. So I imagine he's going to have to go through some sort of 14-day quarantine before he's allowed to play with the Bears, and probably some sort of negative test before he's allowed to play with the Bears.
I'm guessing he didn't win that their version of the Stanley Cup.
I don't know. Don't care.
Yeah.
It's KHL. Meh. Anyways, how like high and mighty do I make a sound? That's terrible. Anyways, in the past week, Hershey went 1-1 with a win over Binghamton. The Bears are currently second in the North Division with 26 points, one back of first place Lehigh Valley, who have played one less game than the Bears, unfortunately. Now, they'll be back at it with three games before we talk again, starting tonight, that being Wednesday in Binghamton, before coming back to the Giant Center to host Lehigh Valley on Saturday night. That's going to be an important game. And then a Sunday mid-afternoon game against Wilkes-Barre Scranton. In other AHL news, the Chicago Blackhawks have announced that they will be purchasing their AHL affiliate, the Rockford IceHogs.
Oh, wow.
I wonder, if they're going to change that name, because IceHogs, like, no offense, it sounds dumb. Like, if they make it something more aligned with the Chicago or the Blackhawks, which I feel like probably should be talked about in terms of maybe their name. But anyways, it brings up an interesting thing. So what if Leonsis and Monumental went to go and buy an AHL team? I don't think the Bears would want to do that.
I don't think they would either, because they sell that place out by themselves. It doesn't matter who the affiliate is. However, I think it would be smart because the Capitals and the Bears, I mean, they seem kind of synonymous with each other at this point. I think, you know, they're so close that you can get the fan base of the Capitals up to a Hershey Bears game.
Yeah. It's a little bit less of a drive to Rockford from Chicago than it is from my area, at least, because you're up in Baltimore. Yeah. Definitely 45 minutes shorter for you to get to Hershey. It's about a 2-hour drive, I think, for me to get to
Hershey?
The Bears. Yeah, 2:15. Wow. Well, because you're 45 minutes north of me.
Yeah.
Like, I got to go up, you know, I got to go up 29 to 70 to 695, which takes 4 hours somehow. And then up, I got to do the big whoop around to get to 83.
Yeah, then it's just straight up 83, and you're on that for like an hour.
Yeah. Yeah, but for you, I mean, imagine you just jump on 695 over to 83.
Yeah, it's like two roads.
How long does it take you to get to Hershey?
Maybe like hour 15. Hour 30,
yeah,
like,
so it's about two.
Hour 30 is with traffic, so.
It's about 2:15, I think, for me to get to Hershey.
That's a bit of a hike.
Yeah, but that's fine. Like, I'm not advocating for the Caps to buy their own affiliate. I would like them to buy an ECHL affiliate and put them in Baltimore. But if they were going to buy their own minor league affiliate, I have to imagine it would be in either Richmond or Baltimore.
Norfolk?
They already have an ECHL team, so now that would go down.
And apparently that I'm just saying that. What if the Capitals bought that one? Like, I mean,
yeah, buy that one and then put them in Baltimore.
No offense, South Carolina. We're about to talk to you in a second.
We like South Carolina. It's great. It's just too far.
Yeah, but like when they were the Reading Royals were the ECHL affiliate for the Bears, I went to a Royals game and it was a lot of fun. Reading is not that far.
Yeah. Well, it's like four, I think, for me.
It's another 30 minutes from Hershey.
Oh, so is it 3 hours? Maybe it's three.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know who the ECHL affiliate is for the Hurricanes, but it probably should be South Carolina. I mean, it just makes sense geographically, you know? I'm going to look that up later. But anyways, speaking of South Carolina, the Stingrays went 1-2 with a win over Greenville. They're currently fifth in the Eastern Conference with 45 points, 19 back of first-place Florida. But they're only eight back of second-place Indy. Now, they'll be back at it tonight, that again being Wednesday in Indianapolis, before heading to Wheeling for back-to-back games against the Nailers. That name is funny. Also, that's not that far from the D.C. area. That's what's going on the farm.
Wheeling? Wheeling, is it?
I don't think so. It's in West Virginia. Let's see. I'm going to do a quick Google map. I take it back. It's not where I thought it was. I take it back. It's significantly further. It's like not close at all. Never. I didn't even realize West Virginia went that far north. Huh. I learned something new today, guys.
Cool. It is a 5-hour drive for me.
It is 4:27. So from where I'm at. So I take back what I said. It's too freaking far. Never mind. Yeah. I disregard everything I just said. Anyways, that's what's going on down on the farm.
It's actually closer to Cleveland, I think, than us.
Yeah, so. Definitely.
Yeah.
But that would make sense for them to be a minor league affiliate of the Penguins, the ECHL affiliate, because it's not that far from Pittsburgh. Whereas South Carolina, again, we like you very much. We appreciate what you're doing. You're really far away. It just doesn't make sense.
All right, well, that's it for what's going on down on the farm. Go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. Not somber, but some scary news going on right now in the NHL, especially with Vancouver. But Coach Dan, tell us, what's going on around the NHL?
Yeah, let's start in Vancouver, where things are getting downright frightening. The Canucks have had 21 players, including Braden Holtby, Travis Boyd, and Nate Schmidt. Actually, I don't know if Nate Schmidt's been tested positive or he's just on the COVID-19 list. But they've had 21 players and four members of their staff test positive for COVID-19. And I read that their family members are also getting it, and some of them have been pretty bad cases.
Yeah, from what I hear, this is the Brazil, like the variant from Brazil.
It's one of the variants. I don't know which one, and I don't know if these players have been vaccinated at this point or not, but I would not at all be surprised if they're like, y'all are done for the season. Like, go sit down and just... we'll see you in September.
Well, like you said, the number of people that are being that are testing positive continually goes up. Like you said, these are not asymptomatic cases. These are really bad.
Well, some might be cases, but some are not. Right.
But there are some that are very bad with some very bad symptoms. I mean, they have not practiced in days. And think about it: you test positive, you need so many days afterwards to. That you didn't test positive, that you were negative, so many days you had to quarantine, not be around everybody, then you got to get back into playing shape. Like you said, this season might be over already for Vancouver. They may have to call it, and the Canadian division is already going to be changing because it looks like Vancouver may not be able to finish the season, which is This is one of the worst cases in sports, in all of sports we have seen yet.
Yeah, this one's pretty bad. See, I don't know how they finish the rest of the season. And we have breaking news out of the tri-state area as the Islanders are not messing around. They've brought in forward Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac from the Devils in exchange for forward AJ Greer, Mason Jopes, a first-round pick in 2021 and a fourth-round pick in 2022. The New York Islanders definitely going for it all this season. The 2021 BioSteel All-American game is scheduled to take place in Plymouth, Michigan tonight, that being Wednesday again, at 8 p.m. on the NHL Network. Now, the game will feature players from the U.S. National Under-18 team of the USA Hockey's National Team Development Program. They'll be taking on a team of the best American-born players from the USHL, the country's only Tier 1 junior hockey league. Now, more information was scheduled to be released. I haven't looked at it, to be honest.
I'm intrigued to see what this game is like. I've never watched, except for the World Juniors, I've never watched a juniors hockey game. And this is nice. Obviously, USA is hockey is getting ready for more international play as the world slowly seems to be getting back to somewhat normalcy, although it doesn't seem like that in Vancouver at the moment. But this game should be interesting, and I'm intrigued to see what happens. So maybe we can talk a little bit about it next week.
Yeah, I mean we'll see what happens. I don't have the NHL Network, so I can't watch.
I'll send you some highlights.
Thanks, man. And finally, in Olympics news, according to the Associated Press, and I quote, the State Department said Tuesday the Biden administration is consulting with allies about a joint approach to China and its human rights record, including how to handle the upcoming Beijing Winter Olympics, end quote. The department suggested that an Olympic boycott to protest China's rights abuses was a possibility, but apparently a senior official later said that boycott has not yet been discussed, so it probably has been. Now, human rights groups are protesting China's hosting of the games, which are currently set to start next February. They're asking for a diplomatic or boycott of the event to call attention to the alleged Chinese abuses against Uyghurs, Tibetans, and residents of Hong Kong. Now, both the IOC and the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee have said that they oppose boycotts. We'll see what happens there, because things are getting real interesting. The NHL has not announced what they plan to do if the U.S. decides to boycott the 2022 Olympics. I imagine we're not going to hear anything until, which means we'll, of course, say something tomorrow. But I would have to imagine that we're not going to hear anything until after the U.S. or IOC makes... sorry, not the IOC, the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee, if they make a decision.
It's going to be at least a year or until the Winter Olympics. So they have time to discuss that, what happens in the world until then. What we've seen in the last year, there's a lot of things that can change. I'm hoping that there isn't a boycott. I love the Olympics. But it'll be interesting to see how the NHL responds, because if the U.S. were to say we're boycotting, and it sounds like from that article that they're talking with allies, so wouldn't just be a United States boycott. It seems like it would be other countries.
Yeah.
But would the NHL then say we're not going to the Olympics now, or would it be Team USA, you can't have any NHLers on your team, but like Russia or Canada – they could. Like, it's everything is really up in the air right now, but it's interesting that they are saying that potentially there could be a boycott.
I mean, part of me wouldn't be surprised necessarily, but then I'm also wouldn't be surprised at all if the U.S. still ended up attending.
I mean
a boycott of the Olympics is not enough. I don't feel like it's enough of a message to be sent for these human rights violations that are clearly happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the news from the past week in hockey.
All right. Well, if you would like to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related stuff when I'm not having to chase my kid around and keep him from throwing things at the television, though he likes hockey. Like last night we were watching the Caps game started as the Nats game was going into the bottom of the ninth. And, you know, Nats get a couple guys on board. Soto comes up. So I'm switching back over to the Nats game. He starts going, hockey, hockey. I'm like, no, this is baseball, man. It's bottom of the ninth. He goes, hockey. I was like, all right, you wait. Because Soto's about to hit a walk-off. So, yeah. As some of that's finding me on Twitter, at WTP Coach. And I talk about all kinds of other things on there as well. Arsenal Football Club, there it is, and how poorly they played against Liverpool. Talking about Nats, the Orioles from time to time, Bills, Washington Football Team, and other things related to the sporting world. But that is on Twitter at WTP Coach Chan. But hey, if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where you can find out when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of other things related to the Washington Capitals, their minor league affiliates, and the Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, or even the Hershey Cubs. Right? Is that their name? Why did I blank on that for a second? I was like, that's the Chicago team. Yeah, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, if people happen to not be fans, unfortunately, of the Bills or the Washington Football Team, and they happen to like a team up there in Ballmer, is there another podcast they should check out?
Yeah, you can check out my other podcast, The Call, whenever the Ravens decide to do anything, literally anything at this point, we will do a show.
Did you guys sign someone recently?
No.
No? Never mind.
I mean, they signed Sammy Watkins, but...
Yeah. Isn't that a good deal? No? You don't like that deal?
Nah. Not enough to do a show.
You're picky, man.
But you can listen to my Ravens podcast called The Call. The draft is only in a few weeks, so I'm thinking we're going to be doing a show pretty soon talking about that. But you can pick up that podcast wherever you download this podcast. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok. Anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that's pretty much it until we talk again. Let's talk about the games until we talk again. On Thursday, April 8th, the Capitals welcome the Bruins to town. Chara's going to show them around at a socially distant 6 feet. That game is at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that on NBC Sports Washington or on ESPN+. On Friday, April 9th, the Capitals travel to Buffalo, and that game is at 7 o'clock. You can watch that on NBC Sports Washington+. And then they go up to Boston on Sunday, and that game is on the 11th, and that's night two of WrestleMania. They're going to miss that. You can watch that game at 7 o'clock on ESPN Plus or on NBC Sports Washington. And then on Tuesday, the Caps fly back home to go up against those Flyers. You can watch that game. It is at 7 o'clock. You can watch it nationally on NBC Sports, locally here on NBC Sports Washington. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Coach Dan, I'm thinking those two Boston games, those teams are going to be hungry for some points. They're trying to continue that holding on to that fourth spot. But I'm hoping the Buffalo-Philadelphia games won't be too much of a headache, and that our boys, our Caps, can come away with wins there. But those Boston games, those are the two I'm thinking might give us a little bit of a headache.
I think Phillies as well. I mean, they're pushing to get and try and fight their way into the playoffs. I think every game, with the exception, no offense to my father, the ones against the Sabres, every other game is going to be tough. And every point they get, those being the other teams, is going to be beneficial for them. And when you're only playing against teams in your division, every point you don't give them is even more important than in a normal year. So every win that they can get, and even every point the Caps can get, is important.
Absolutely. All right, guys, that's it for the show this week. Say it loud, say it proud. Is that gel?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.